The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show Hour 1 Podcast.
And we welcome you back to another day here. Thank you for joining us. Hope you enjoyed the game. Let's get right to it with some headlines, because we have a busy, busy day in store for you. And, of course, the Women's Final Four begins in just a couple of hours. And it's South Carolina versus Stanford in the Final Four. They met a couple of years ago in a similar situation, and Dawn Staley's team prevailed. Meanwhile, there is history being made tonight when, for the first time, two black women will coach in the Final Four. It's certainly a very big deal, and we will be watching very closely as we take a look here at the bracket. South Carolina in the early game, of course, and Connecticut later on. In the football world, the transfer portal is definitely in the news, and that is going to be one of our big topics of conversation today in just a few minutes with David Ubben. It all started with a tweet from Lane Kiffin as he steals a 9-year-old from Tennessee. Yeah, we thought we had seen everything in recruiting until now. Meanwhile, back to the Final Four as we get ready for tonight in San Antonio. Dawn Staley understands this journey. She won it all a couple of years ago, and she hopes to win it all again this time around.
Being here at a women's NCAA tournament, Elite Eight, and on to the Final Four, we don't know what we don't know. So I think it's important that they open up and have an investigation as to why these championships differ from the players' eyes and now a reporter's eyes. So something has to give. We do have a conference call with, you know, the leadership of the NCAA on Wednesday. So we'll see what's come out of that, or what'll come out of that conversation.
So that was Dawn Staley with us a couple of days ago, and that conference call did take place. Meanwhile, back to football. We spoke a couple of days ago with Sean Beamer of the University of South Carolina. He talked a lot about the quarterback situation and the battle on campus.
Like the group, Luke Doty obviously has done a great job, and it's a young, experienced group. I mean, I forget that Luke Doty's been here less than a year, or right at a year, and did not play much at all last season, but he's kind of the veteran of the group, if you will. But love his intelligence, love his accuracy, and what kind of football player he is, and the athleticism that he brings to the position, the way that he's trying to be a leader. He's a guy that I was very familiar with in recruiting, being out at Oklahoma. He was a guy that we liked coming out of high school. Lincoln and our offensive staff at Oklahoma did, and really been impressed with Luke. And he's certainly young and working to get better and getting better each and every day, but couldn't be more pleased with where he is. And then we've got, you know, a group in there competing with him, with Colton Gauthier, a true freshman that just got here in January, Jason Brown, a transfer that just got here in January, and then Connor Jordan, a returner that was on the team last year. So we've only got four guys in there, but they're all working hard and competing.
Meanwhile, the Razorbacks are looking for a quarterback as well. They may be feeling pretty good about it. We had a nice conversation earlier this week with Sam Pittman.
Well, right now we're looking for a guy just to run the offense, be able to have the right reads, understand where the reads are, understand the secondary pre-snap, things of that nature. We're looking for someone that builds confidence in our football team when he's behind the center. And then, in all honesty, I'm looking for a guy who can play and throw the ball and somebody can catch it. I mean, a lot of guys look good on air. A lot of guys look good in one-on-one non-team settings. But we're trying to find a guy that can go play well in a team setting. And to be honest with you, Paul, part of the reason that we've opened our scrimmages up because I want our quarterbacks to feel a little bit more pressure.
As we continue the week in review, Ross Dellinger was also with us. He has been covering the NIL situation quite extensively. And this is what he had to say about the Supreme Court ruling, not the ruling, but the hearings on Wednesday.
It was hard not to come away from the hearing thinking that the NCAA was down by a few touchdowns in the fourth quarter. You know, it felt like they were a pinata, which for many college football, college sports fans and coaches and even and players, especially lately, the NCAA has been a punching bag. And now, over the last year, we've seen it from Congress, and now we've seen it from the highest court in the land, and the most important judges in America have treated the NCAA like a punching bag. But I think we do have to be careful, and it is a dangerous game a little bit to lead too much into questions. And as one legal expert told me yesterday, many times justices will ask their most difficult and hardest questions to the side they agree with.
So that is where we are. It's been a busy start to the show. And what about the rest of the long afternoon here on Good Friday? David Ubben joining us in a couple of minutes. We'll get his take on the transfer portal. Jim Cavell, he deals a lot with players and image, and we'll talk about NIL with him. Holly Rowe on the Final Four. As you can imagine, we will be spending a lot of time on that. Tasha Harris as well, former Gamecock. And Ken Smithmeyer in the final hour trying to help us get through the holidays and maybe a look ahead. So that is where we are here on a Friday afternoon. We appreciate you being with us. We know it's a holiday, and we appreciate all of you. We hope all of you have a wonderful holiday and a great Easter on Sunday. But let's get to the calls here at 855-242-7285 and begin with Ron, who is in Kentucky. Hey, Ron, thanks. Good afternoon. Ron, you there?
Yes.
Good. Good afternoon.
Is Gonzaga for real, Paul?
Ron, I believe they are. I think they've been the best team for the last 2 years, and I frankly don't. I think Baylor is good. I mean, Baylor is in their league, but I don't think they're good enough to beat Gonzaga.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. Aside from that, Paul, what's been your impression of the way that Kentucky has rebuilt their football program?
I think it's impressive. It's been methodical, at times painstaking. Last year was a mild setback, but understandable when you consider the loss of the offensive coach and COVID, but I think overall, Mark Stoops has this program positioned for a really good run.
I really agree with that. Well, I hadn't talked to you in quite a while, Paul, and I still watch you on television, and my best to you.
Ron, thank you for calling, and I always think of you, and I hope you continue to navigate your issues, and you stay well. Great to hear from you,
good
my
luck,
friend.
Good luck, Paul,
you got
and
it.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Let's take a break. It is Easter weekend, Good Friday, a very blessed day, and we are going to try to bless all of you today with a good show. 855-242-7285 is our number, and we are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch.
Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Yeah, we welcome you back. Just an interesting story that just broke from Major League Baseball because of the controversial voting bill passed in Georgia. The MLB just announced it is moving the All-Star game this summer, the baseball All-Star game, out of Atlanta. Very interesting story there. You think about all the different things that go on in Atlanta, whether anyone else will follow suit or not. Let's get back to the calls at 855-242-7285 and talk to Lee, who is up next. Hello, Lee. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Good afternoon to you.
I was going to ask you, who do you think is going to win the Final Four tonight? The ladies' Final Four.
I would go with UConn. What about you?
UConn.
Yeah.
This is so cool.
I didn't really think that was all that controversial of an answer, but anyway, I'll go to Mike next in Tulsa. Hey, Mike, go right ahead.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
We are doing well. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I was just calling about a few years ago. They invited Oklahoma along with Texas A&M to the Southeastern Conference, and Oklahoma turned them down, and we were just kind of wondering your thoughts about that.
I understand Oklahoma's allegiance to the Big 12, but I think in the end they made a mistake. I think Oklahoma would be far better suited and prepared for the coming changes in college athletics by being in the SEC. And I will tell you, even after that happened, there were still some overtures between the school and various people connected to the SEC. But, you know, Oklahoma is in great shape. I mean, they have phenomenal sports, but I think the financial revenue flow because of the television agreements in the SEC would have benefited OU for the future a lot better than where they currently are.
Yeah, we were a little upset about it, to say the least, here. I got some old retired buddies. We sit around, you know, bull all the time. But there's one thing we do like. We sit around and watch you. We like your unabashed, unashamed allegiance to the Southeast Conference. Kudos to that, sir.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Okay, have a good one.
Yeah, that hasn't changed too much in my life. Great to have you on board. Let's check out Austin, who is in Ohio. Hello, Austin.
Hey, Paul. First time caller, man. How are you?
I am doing well. Thank you. Hope you are.
Yeah, great to finally talk to you. I'm a big fan. So I just have one question. Justin Fields, he had his pro day the other day, and same with Mac Jones. And I just wanted to see, compare them. And if you were an NFL team, who would you draft first?
Well, I think it all comes down to need, Austin. I'll spare you. They're both great players. We wouldn't be talking about them if they weren't. But I just think it depends on what type of team you have. And, I mean, to me, Mac Jones may not have some of the athleticism that Justin Fields, but he certainly has a very dependable and serviceable arm. And it would just really depend. I'm not sure I'm prepared to answer that until I really understand where they may be going. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Ted is in New Jersey, and you are on the air. Hello, Ted.
Hey, Paul. Man, last time I talked to you, we were talking about Saquon Barkley, Penn State. We were getting all excited about the 2017 season. How's it going, Paul?
It is going great. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, I just want to talk about the transfer portal a little bit. Have you heard some of the names coming out of the transfer portal being linked to Penn State?
I have not.
Oh, no? There's a big potential quarterback transfer. We got Devin Crystal. He could be transferring into Penn State. I'm super excited about this one.
Well, yeah, there are so many names right now in the portal, Ted, so I apologize for not knowing all of the possibilities for Penn State, but we'll keep you up to date on that. Thank you for the call. Les is up next. Hello, Les.
Hey, Paul, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I've heard you often say that you've never made a financial or a real money wager on sports, but I have heard a story that back in the 80s, you made a wager on the Iron Bowl and ended up having to ride a tractor down to Auburn. Is that real?
Yeah, that is true. I can't remember exactly why I said it. I think it was 89. I said that I thought Alabama would beat Auburn, and if they don't, I'll ride a tractor to Auburn. So what I did was this. I was working at a radio station at the time. I got on a tractor in Birmingham, and we filmed it. And I did not ride down the highway. That was a little bit difficult. But I did at the A-Day game in April of 1990, got on a tractor, a John Deere tractor, and rode into the stadium at midfield, where I was promptly greeted by Pat Dye.
A wager with, and what did they stand to lose?
Well, Les, when you make a wager by yourself, you're not really betting anyone. It was just something that I just said on the show. Hey, you know, if they do this, I'll do that. Nobody at Auburn said, okay, well, if Alabama wins, then we'll do this. It was just I said it to the audience. But thanks for the call. Thanks for reminding me. Great memory riding a tractor. One and only. Nick is in North Carolina. Hello, Nick.
Hey, Paul. How you doing? First-time caller.
Great. Thank you for calling.
I was wondering, you're welcome. I was wanting to know, what do you think Alabama's chances are at repeating as SEC champion and maybe possibly national champion?
I think they're good, not great. I don't think you're talking about the football, right?
Right, right.
Yeah, I just, I would probably lean a little more toward Alabama this year. I felt stronger about them last year than this year. How about that?
Right. Okay. Well, thank you a lot. That's kind of how I feel too.
Yeah. You could never go wrong picking Alabama to win the national championship. I've done it. I've done it about 11 times and been right six. And I may do it again. I haven't really thought about it too much, but I think they'll be in the running. But I would not. I would think Clemson, Georgia, maybe Oklahoma are also in that mix. Hey, thank you for the call. Let's continue with more calls. And Kevin is up next. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
I am well. Thank you for calling.
What is it going to take for the South Carolina Lady Gamecocks to win the national championship this year?
It's probably going to take two upsets, Kevin. They are a slight underdog tonight against Stanford. I do think they can get by Stanford. I think Connecticut may be a bigger hill to climb, though.
When was the last time South Carolina won the national championship?
2017.
Oh, wow.
They just did. Hey,
I think...
Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. How about Mark in Kansas? Mark, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Thanks for taking my call, Paul. I just want to say I'm a big Jayhawks fan. Of course, I love Roy Williams. But what I was wondering is, of course, Roy Williams just retired from North Carolina. I've been hearing, though, that Nate Oates might be in line to take that job. Have you heard anything like that?
A little bit. Last hour... of Thursday night show, we talked to Cecil Hurt, and he had written a piece on Nate Oates would have to consider it if he was offered. I think it's possible he'll come into consideration. I think it's more likely they'll either go inside Hubert Davis, or if they go outside, the Carolina family, then I think Nate Oates or Jay Wright would be two contenders. But you know, Carolina is a very incestuous school, and they don't like foreigners coming in there, foreigners being someone that didn't play or coach at North Carolina.
Well, what do you think the chances are then of Jerry Stackhouse being their coach?
I would say pretty slim based on what we've seen out of him so far.
That's what I thought. All right. Well, thank you very much, sir. Hope you
Now, listen, if Jerry Stackhouse had shown a higher level of winning in his first 2 years at Vanderbilt, then you know, he would probably be under consideration. I mean, he's certainly a Carolina man all the way, and he's got potential as a head coach, but I would hasten to think he would be a favorite for that job based on his track record so far. Thank you very much for the call, and let's talk to Tim, who is up next in California. Hello, Tim.
Hey, Paul, how you doing? Longtime listener. In fact, go way back at LSU, Billy Cannon, Tommy Davis, follow those teams all through my career. I've been a JC coach, but one of the things I want to comment on is the NCAA handling of the ladies' facilities for the basketball. I don't know how those mistakes can possibly be made in the next couple of days that they come back with these huge programs and how they're going to support them. But one thing that I do think that is important and would help the women's sports is if some of the ladies that go up through the men's sports and have their coaching careers and things like that, hooked with men's sports, would focus more on the ladies' sports, because I think that would bring them more to national prominence. Is just my feeling, and I'm a big supporter of ladies' sports.
Yeah, I agree with you, too. Hey, Tim, thanks for the call. I think it's embarrassing, and I have found Mark Emmert's comments to be simply not believable. We will take a break. We have a lot to do on the program. David Ubben will join us in just a few minutes talking about the portal and more of your phone calls after that.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, we welcome you back. It's great to have all of you here. I'm sure by now you've heard this story or seen it on Twitter about Lane Kiffin. Yeah, there's always something about Lane on Twitter, but this time he owned the internet. The Athletic has a story by our next guest, David Ubben, how Lane Kiffin beat out Saban and Ogeron to win over a 9-year-old Tennessee football fan. David joining us now. David, thank you very much for being here. And I think the best thing to do here is just start from the beginning as you laid out in your piece. Good afternoon.
Hey, thanks, Paul. Appreciate you having me on. I mean, I think like a lot of people, I saw that tweet and I thought there's probably a good story there. And so worked the phones, contacted a few people and was able to talk to them last night and hear kind of where this all started.
So for those who have not been following it or have not read your story, and I don't want to give the whole thing away, but let's start with this fan. Who is this individual and what prompted what happened next?
I mean, a pretty standard 9-year-old boy in Sevierville, Tennessee, just outside of Knoxville. My wife's family is actually from the area, so I'm pretty familiar with Sevierville over there by Pigeon Forge. It's Dollywood territory. But, yeah, I mean, his family is all Tennessee fans. He's been a Tennessee fan. And I asked him, well, why did you want to go to the portal? And he said, well, I'm tired of being on a losing team. And I think a lot of Tennessee fans feel his pain but might not be willing to jump in the transfer portal like he did.
So let's take it to next. So Kiffin tweets the other day. What did he say?
He just said, "Hey, we got this kid in the transfer portal, the fan transfer portal." He tweeted out the letter. You guys can see that there. And I mean, it's a funny story. It's a fun deal. And then, of course, Lane got on the phone, made his pitch, and sealed the deal. Lane Kiffin exercising that recruiting muscle in a little bit of a different way. And now he's got another Ole Miss fan in ball country.
And I can't believe I'm asking these questions with a straight face, but how did Tennessee handle yet another defection?
Well, you know, Tennessee's in transition right now. They've got some administrative stuff moving around, but Nick Saban sent him an autographed photo. LSU sent him an autographed photo of Coach Orgeron with some gear, a backpack, and some sunglasses. Tennessee did not contact him. Again, I think some of the transition probably helped there, but Tennessee not exactly making overtures. But with Lane Kiffin, the personal touch made the difference, and Ole Miss gained a fan out of the deal.
So he's committed. Can he be an early enrollee in 8 years?
I believe 8 years. I believe he'd be the class of 2029, something along those lines. I asked his dad. I said, well, can somebody flip him? And he's like, I don't know. You know, I think he's pretty committed to this. He's pretty excited about in the fall going to Oxford. He's already been researching kind of what game day is. You know, he's familiar with the Vol Navy and all the Tennessee traditions, and he's been researching the Ole Miss traditions and all those things. So he's pretty excited. They're going to go to Neyland Stadium. They plan to do that this fall, or Ole Miss, coincidentally, is Tennessee's crossover opponent. So he comes to Tennessee next year, and then they want to make it to Oxford for a game. So, Paul, I don't know about you. This is the perfect SEC story, I feel like. You know, people say it just means more. I like to make fun of it from time to time, but this is one of those stories that it does kind of just mean more.
And this is why Nick Saban needs to be more active on Twitter. He wouldn't have lost this kid otherwise. David, let's talk about the real elephant in the room, and that's UT. Sounds like things are getting better. I know it's only April 2nd. Give us the lay of the big orange country.
Well, they're five practices in. You know, right now, Josh Heupel, he pushed back spring a little bit because he took over so late. I mean, he took over a full month later than any other SEC coach. So you're kind of, you know, in terms of having guys know this is what I'm supposed to do, understanding the offense, you're already behind the eight ball there. So, you know, five practices in, trying to get guys to kind of understand their standards, what's expected of them. And right now they're kind of feeling that out, you know, very early. Got some guys banged up. Obviously, the offseason talent drain, which we've talked about and been pretty well chronicled, not something Tennessee can hide from, but they've got who they've got, and then they're working with those guys right now. Still pretty early to tell a whole lot of what's going on and you know, if there's movement. I think right now they're just trying to get a feel for, here's what we got. Let's get the players to understand what this program's going to look like and how fast they want to play and all of those things and all those expectations, and that's kind of the status of spring right now.
In terms of the QB and other important positions, are we learning much through five practices?
It's pretty early. I think this staff really likes Brian Maurer, who a lot of people have sort of cast off. I think he'll be really, really interesting. I just think over time, you know, Hendon Hooker, the Virginia Tech transfer, his experience, his ability. You know, my colleague at The Athletic, Max Olson, wrote about the 50 most efficient quarterbacks in the country that are coming back to college football next year. Well, Hendon Hooker's number 12. I think that experience, that ability, are really going to give him an edge, but I think it's going to come down to Brian Maurer. Harrison Bailey and Hendon Hooker, I think I'd put Hooker at a very narrow favorite. But Brian Maurer has surprised some people. I think he's going to be a bigger factor in this race than people might have expected.
And finally, I know how the nine-year-olds are doing in terms of recruiting, but and I also realize it's early, but recruiting starts early, as you know. Is it in any sense of what the new staff looks like on the recruiting trail, even though there really isn't a recruiting trail, but are you hearing any activity?
Well, I mean, certainly they're obviously spending time on the phone with guys and stacking up visits for June when the dead period ends. But, you know, I don't think anybody's hitting the panic button just yet, and you're dealing with some disadvantages with the NCAA uncertainty and, you know, new staff, all the transition. But it's never good to be – I mean, we're sitting here, we're in April, and Tennessee still has a bagel on the board and your 2022 commits. That's not great. That's not what you want. They got to find a way to get some momentum. You know, putting some points on the board in the fall can definitely help. But, you know, they've got to defend their home turf a little bit. It has not been a really encouraging couple months in the results-based business of recruiting. They've got some, obviously, like we said, some reasons for that. So, like I said, I don't think there's a panic happening yet, but there's certainly some grumbling among the fans that, you know, they're what, 8 months away from early signing period, and Tennessee's still sitting on zero commitments right now.
I bet that changes. David Ubben with some fun stuff from Big Orange Country. David, thank you. Appreciate you coming by. Have a great holiday this weekend, and we will talk to you again very soon. We are heading to a break. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Off and running. We'll spend a lot of time in the third hour getting you ready for tonight's Women's Final Four. South Carolina taking on Stanford. And when we come back, more of your calls right here.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
And welcome back. We mentioned the breaking news from just a few minutes ago that the Major League Baseball All-Star Game is moving from Atlanta. That's a coveted event you don't get very often. And now it is gone because of the new voting bill passed recently by the Georgia legislature. Tom is up next in Pennsylvania. Hello, Tom. Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon. So they're moving the All-Star game to appease those that oppose the voting law. Wonder what they're doing for those that are in favor of the voting law. I mean, I think Major League Baseball is underestimating who their real fan base is at a time when they're hurting for attendance and viewership and everything else. I think it's a bad move and a very bad precedent.
Yeah, you know, I've heard people say that about Major League Baseball before, especially in, what was it, 14 during the strike, 94 during the strike, and they never go back. People do not adhere to things like this for very long. I think the most interesting part of this will be to see if anyone else follows. You're talking about a tremendous film industry in Atlanta. You're talking about major Fortune 500 companies, countless NCAA events, including the SEC football championship. So, I don't know where this goes, but I do know one thing, and whether you know, you're right or wrong, and you may be right, these things tend to have domino effects, and it's hard to find an organization as big as Major League Baseball. But thank you for the call. I do think this is going to be a major controversy moving forward. Michael is up next. Hey, Michael.
Oh, Ms. Feinbaum, thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I just, you know, I called you sometime not long ago here about the business decision of Tennessee hiring Coach Heupel in comparison to UCF and their hiring of Gus Malzahn. We looked at the numbers there a little bit, and I don't have that kind of detail for this call. But I want to just go ahead and say, like, I'm with your last caller here, that here we have a new business decision that makes that one, the Tennessee business decision, pale in comparison. This has got to be, on Major League Baseball's part, the biggest bonehead move I've ever seen. To think that, first of all, you've got a whole state of people who have duly elected officials serving in their own legislature. They've got a duly elected governor. They passed legislation there that they thought, in their own eyes, that makes the voting rights, you know, or the voting situation more transparent and such there in Georgia. That's their constitutional right. And now Major League Baseball wants to decide that somebody does not have the right to exercise their constitutional right, that they want to object to a whole population of millions of people, or at least a majority of millions exercising their constitutional right through their representatives. And frankly, it's just absolutely heinous, in my opinion.
Yeah, you know, Michael, I remember a couple of years ago, Charlotte lost the NBA All-Star game because of a I can't even remember exactly what the it was. The state legislature there had reacted to the city council. It was the bathroom bill. And in fact, the Charlotte City Council, I believe, I'm talking to Danny in the other room, was in favor of you know, protection, but the legislature went against it, and the NBA moved it out anyway. So I understand the frustration. I do. I'm just simply but I also understand who some of the people are on the other side. And I mentioned Hollywood for a reason a minute ago, and I don't think you need a magnifying glass to understand why I said that. So, you know, the key here isn't what MLB did. The key is who else follows, because once the first person knocks the door down, the ants start running through. Hey, thank you for the call, though. Really do appreciate it. Ryan is up next in North Carolina. Hello, Ryan.
Hey, how are you?
I'm well, thank you.
You are. Like that guy said, I think it's smart then moving from that All-Star from Georgia. I think it's smart.
Why is that?
Because they don't have time to vote. They need to move All-Stars to another place.
Well, the only thing I'm saying here is this. I appreciate the call. Keep your eyes on everyone else. I just read a tweet here from Stuart Mandel, who is talking about the SEC. I'll just read it to you. It says the SEC, which took a stance on the Mississippi flag last year, is now going to face a lot of pressure to move the championship game. I'm not sure I agree with that, but he won't be the last person to bring up the conference. And it is when you think about the Southeastern Conference, there is no more important game every year than the SEC football championship, just in terms of the spotlight, the financial television agreement previously with CBS and ultimately with ESPN, what it means to the league, and that is really a big deal. Let's keep going here and check out D, who is up next. Hey, D, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, you know I'm calling in on this one.
Yes.
The hypocrites that call into your show is just outrageous sometimes. One of the things, I'm in Georgia, and all of a sudden it was fine the way we were voting. We had weeks, and it's not just happened. With the pandemic, they did add an extra few days, but we always voted early, so that was no thing. But once the Republicans lost and all the Trump people saw that, people came out and voted, and Georgia turned, and the two senators, they got two Democratic senators out of Georgia. All of a sudden, everybody's in an uproar, and all of a sudden, they decide to change the laws of voting early, when all before then, we always did come out and vote.
Dee,
all your hypocrites call me now because Trump lost Georgia and didn't get the senators he wanted. Now it's just so outrageous. I think it's a bunch of hypocrites. As long as they were winning and Republicans were getting in, it wasn't any problem.
Dee, can you explain to the rest of us what this legislation does?
Well, it asks people to do. Now, I've been voting ever since I was able to vote because my parents distilled that in me. And I've always shown ID because they've always asked. So I don't know why all of a sudden now it's such a big major deal. They always, at every poll, wherever I've lived around here, they always ask you to show an ID before you pick up your ballot. They check you off and you go on.
Okay.
But they find one or two, then they make a big deal out of it.
Dee, I hate to run. Thank you for the call. We are heading to a break. Much more to come right after this.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.